right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and so many things to talk about. Again, I enjoyed last week's conversation with you. Feel free to call in. I got a couple things I want to talk about and give you the rest of the hour, or the hours or 2 hours. Is you know, if you're concerned with fake news, like I said last week, and the media is not telling you the right story, so in order for you to know that they're not telling you the right story or the accurate story, you must have some facts. So rather than wait on them to come and give you those facts again, or modify them or manipulate them or fashion them into something that will help them, you spill your guts. You spit it out and tell us like it is, as you know the facts, or the facts stand. You know, a nation of crybabies is someone we're going to turn into a big nursery here if we don't watch it. You know, give. So, anyway, I really enjoyed that. And feel free, again, 524-1080 is the number. But also, there's some interesting things going on. How about those French people? You know, how good have they been? If we stop and look back, we honor the British for everything. I mean, you know, even though we have to fight them for our freedom. But the French, they intervened and assisted in the Civil War, you know, the Revolutionary War. A number of things happened there. The Statue of Liberty. And I have to chuckle and say, well, gee, isn't that funny? The people that have been most gracious to us, we've been kind of unkind. Remember those eras when we didn't want to have French fries? Don't call them American, don't call them French fries no more. Call them American French fries. And so here recently, apparently, the French were smart enough to show us Americans once again that they're with us, show us how to beat back tyranny and hatred and what have you, and on and on and on. So it's something to be, we should all get ourselves a red hat and say, we want French fries, you know, and that'd be the motto of the day for the American way, because we apparently have become blinded. And maybe all of this effort disrespect for the French people, was that a signal or a sign that we were basically becoming a nation of misfits and subjected to trickery and sneakery and all of those things and treason? Our generals are playing around with the enemy. And all we could come up with was, I ain't calling them French fries no more. We're American fries. A lot to be said about that, folks. And I know it's not commonplace to have someone to sit and make statements such as that. But it's a reality. Our real friends, we dump on them, and the people that we beg for their love. And we go out of our way to impress upon them that we are with them, and on and on and on. So anyway, congratulations to the French. They saw the WikiLeaks, the Putin leaks, the Trump leaks, the you name it. They weathered the storm, apparently. And we're still stuck on stupid here trying to figure out if we could even get a subpoena file to ask any of these guys to come in and talk. No French fries. Give me American fries. Yeah, I like that. I like the tone of that, you know. And so that's just for those of you that, you know, that Vive la France and do all of that stuff. They deserve it. And hopefully through this, that the FBI and those others that are protecting us in our interests be the path to their country and speak with their officials and their Interpol and all of the people there to gather the facts, and maybe it'll have the fingerprints of many of the people that were involved in the American tragedy. And so whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Green Party, Notarian, Notary, Rotary, Elks, whatever you want to be, at some point we all must stop and ask ourselves, where are we as Americans? Americans now, not Republican American, not Democratic American, not liberal libertarian American, but Americans for the sake of the country. Where are we? Are we so sensitive to one another that we're squabbling and the candy shop is being taken from us? I say candy shop. America's no candy. It's no cakewalk either. But where are we on this? So anyway, one of the things I want to talk about is they're on the Big Island, the island of Oahu, Hawaii. The State Department of Health issued a notice of violation. A notice of violation to our dear friends over there at the Big Island Dairy, and we'll talk about that in some degree, some length later on. But we've brought you to you many times the Big Island Dairy concerns and issues, and so that's one of the things we'll talk about. But one of the other things that I want to share with you, and I would say that maybe you should start listening to the smaller stations, the sources such as this, talking about specifically the hepatitis A in the fish and what have you. Now, many of you probably recall that way back we brought to you and disclosed salmonella and uncovered that in fish in the stores. And I got to tell you, the system is broken. If you're inclined to eat fish, imported fish, and I know that those of you that want to stay in business selling these products, here's some things that I personally use to guide me whether I bother to even touch or even pick up something in the store, and just to look at it, first of all. One, is it imported? Two, has it been treated with carbon monoxide or some other gas or substance that would adulterate the product to a color enhancer? So those basic things, you know, color retention, anything of that nature, I would say, because why am I repeating this? And I've said this several years now, every year we have people get sick and we find ourselves talking about this. I'm in the belief that our legislators should take a closer look at the importation and what is allowed in the permitting imported fish, become more specific, rewrite the state law, because when you... Throughout this show, I'm going to talk about some of the things that it should come as no shock to any of us when you look at the Food and Drug Administration, USDA website, what they call OASIS or ORA. You'll find there's a process, each shipment that comes in. You'd be astounded by the number of rejected, refused shipments of fish product that comes into the state or comes into the United States. And folks, don't take this lightly, because you don't know how ill you can get, and you don't know the reluctancy and the speed by which they we're getting a call here, so if you can email me at carol@carolcox.com, carol@carolcox.com, or text me and at 782-6627, but while I'm on air, I can't answer you. So if you're listening out there, the person that's trying to reach us by call, by telephone, try either turn on the radio to KWAI1080AM.com and go to listen. You can hear us there, podcasts also. But anyway, I don't know how to package this, and I'm not one of those people that's going to go out boasting how fancy I am in delivering the message. I'm going to deliver it to you just basic brand flavor, as simple as it is. One, people are getting sick. Two, people can get deathly ill. We don't know what people are dying from. We don't know. We don't have the mechanism in place to immediately detect all of these shipments or what's coming in or the treatment of the plants. And we're going to go extensively into this. And I offer this so that you don't rely on the health department saying to you that everything is okay. We don't consider it a cluster now. Which of you out there right now, and please call me, would be willing to just get sick in the hell with a cluster, and you can tolerate that, you know, to learn that it's not a cluster, but you at home, deathly ill. Which of you think is okay? One person? Or should the health department change their whole approach? And I know this to be fact. If you see a statement from the stores or from the health department, just know historically they've sat in the back room, boiler room with the companies and the company representatives and what have you, fashioning a statement so it don't have the fallout value or the negative impact. Just know that now. Now, I can't tell you that's in every case, but I have firsthand knowledge that that has happened. And if you see a statement, if they've talked to the stores, they've been running around talking to the stores and trying to identify them. And I believe the legislators should put in a law that requires the health department, upon its initial discovery, inform the public, because if it is a shipment of 5,000 pounds of fish product and you suspect that fish product has been contaminated or has salmonella or hepatitis or bacteria or poison, why would you delay that? And also keep in mind now, if the agency, the USDA, is refusing shipments, how many of those shipments represent the total number of shipments that are being imported into the country? Maybe 1%, they say, or I don't know the exact number, and I'll try and find that, sending them a letter and asking some more specifics. But this is a matter of life and death. There's no joking about this. There's no... I mean, I wish I could tell you how serious you... I don't know how to emphasize, other than to say you can die or get deathly ill or debilitating, so ill that you're debilitated. Who knows? But there's an import refusal website that you can go to, and that's in the enforcement section of the FDA. So if you're inclined to follow up and want to stay in touch with this, just go to the foodanddrugadministration.gov and just type in import refusals. And you can search by country, You can search by product, and you can become informed yourself. But you cannot rely on the state health department being timely or having knowledge or being aggressive enough, because the system just does not allow for that. It becomes more driven that at one point there the tourism business had some comment, and yet the public hadn't been fully informed. But word about the impacts of these products getting into our system and then being alarmed enough that you go and you disclose it, that you assure the public who might be traveling here and visiting the tourism business that it's okay. This is the emphasis. This is the importance they place on this. Locally, I'm saying that there should be new legislation to address specifically upon discovering an illness. I don't care if it is the person went to a bird farm and got sick. That should be, you know, protecting the person's rights, but let the public know up front, because that being the case, there should be a quicker response, maybe that the timeliness. But I've watched the state health department, Dr. Sarah Park. I don't know whether to get me a beer and just start laughing at her, because if you pay attention to her comments, they're the same stale, unaggressive, non-aggressive, non-informative. It's as if she's operating in a cloud or a fog when the real issues are. What is the company that imported this product should be stated up front and clearly. What company shipped it, and from where did it ship to? Clearly, and that information is readily available on, if I own a store and I buy products, I know where I bought it from, so I got it from Mr. X. Mr. X should have paperwork. Mr. X, he bought it from another person, and that person then brought it in bulk by the thousands of pounds. He has that document, the paperwork, and everything in hand. So there should never be any delay. We're gambling with our health. And especially now with meddling and the modification of the health law and the health bill, can you afford to play Russian roulette? So let me just give you. So a shipment is put in place. I, as an importer or a person that import fish or a fish dealer, there's one now that's Tropic Fish who's caught up in this and distributed. So I, Carol Cox Fish Products, I import from Vietnam. I ask for 1,000 pounds of ahi tuna. Now, the party that sells it to me in Vietnam may not have 1,000 pounds on hand. So he or she will go out and contact their sources or providers and say, I have a request for 1,000 pounds of ahi. And so what I need from you is get 1,000 pounds. Well, that party then tells them, I only have 300 pounds. Now I got to go find another 700 pounds. So I might end up talking to four different boats to obtain, and this is just an example from what I've learned through interviews and investigations. And so that party then finds four more people that could get the total package, so they commingle, they bundle them up. And you don't know about HACCP, hazardous control point, temperatures. You don't know about the type of fish, how old the fish is that they've gotten, because there's this process. And if you ever wonder why, some of you might think that, well, poke, when you go to the store and you see it on the shelf there, and it says, at first it was coming in at $3.99 a pound. Now I'm finding it at $13, $12, $15 a pound, the imported poke. But there's one common element that all of these shipments have that are imported, and that is, in Hawaii, you know that the original poke is cubed, or the Japanese, or when you're eating sashimi or whatever, it's cubed, and that's in poke. And some of you are under the impression that this poke is cubed because they made it for it to be appetizing and consistent with what is how it's served here in Hawaii. But the reality is, it's cubed in one-inch pieces practically most of the times, or small cubes, is because they can inject the gas, the carbon monoxide, evenly, better, more efficiently in one-inch cubes. If you try to take some processing, have actually been able to do loins, but there's always a risk of the gas not properly or completely covering it, or impacting every cell, so you end up cutting it and you get brown colored meat that is old or aged and what have you. So the reason you see those small cubes, it's safer for them to, and they can apply this gas evenly, more efficiently, and then package it up. So that fish, so you'll understand, that fish could be 6 months, 8 months, a year, 2 years old or more. And once they subject it to the gas and inserting it throughout the meat, the flesh, it turns it a cherry red. So the next time you go to any place, I encourage all of you, unless you just want to take the chance of, you know, it's be like eating the puffer fish, take your chances. It's good, they say, but it's up to you. But when you go in the stores now, I want you to look at the fish and just ask, don't take my word for it, just ask the clerk, the butcher, the person working behind the fish counter, just ask them if they could take one cube of ahi poke that's locally caught and take another cube of ahi poke that is imported. And I want you to, at that very moment when you say, oh my God, I want you to send me an email or a text or just scream, say, oh, they've been feeding me this crap. You know, something you're entitled to. But I want you to look at them. And one is going to be cherry or watermelon red. And it's, you can tell the difference and the marbling. So I don't mean to gross some of you out, but this is what's missing. This is why I say you cannot trust the health department and rely on anything that they're saying about this, because these are things that you should be educated. There should be an effort by the agencies to warn you about foodborne illnesses and what have you. So it's about the smart consumer. And if you have a compromised immune deficiency problem, you're more susceptible. And if you're a child, a baby, a young baby, you shouldn't be eating this product, in my opinion, because it's a game of Russian roulette. So what I did was, going back to the FDA, and on the refusal reports, you'll find if it's rejected, a shipment is rejected. Just in April of this year, I think there were 210 shipments of fish product rejected. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Hello? You there? Okay. Well, anyway, the import, the product is brought in at the import. Could be San Diego, could be New York, could be Seattle, could be Los Angeles, could be Honolulu, but this shipment is put into the shipping carrier, and it arrives at port. The FDA actually samples some of the shipments. Some, now I say. Not all. And this is what they find I'm not going to exaggerate here, but this is just for 2017, the few months that have gone by. So you find from the FDA's website describing these shipments as filthy. This is what, when they sample them and they reject them, these are the reasons they reject them. Filthy. The article appears to consist in whole or in part of a filthy, putrid, or decomposed substance, or be otherwise unfit for food. Another one is, now, you see, we really should be more conscious of this, and we should be told by the State Health Department and the FDA openly, a campaign, because this hepatitis A matter that pops up now is not something that just sprung up and presented itself. Listen, one of the other elements of rejection is hepatitis A, section 801, small a, A3, 421, A1, and adulteration. That is the definition that the FDA has in the justification for rejecting shipments. The article appears to contain hepatitis A virus, a poisonous or deleterious substance which may render it injurious to health. You shouldn't, honestly, folks, we need to get a handle on this because you don't know what you're eating. And they can take that shipment, and we'll talk about some of the other stuff. They can take that shipment, and in turn, it's rejected. They have 90 days to take an action. And you can return it, or this government will destroy it. But what if they return the shipment, rejected it? Is it possible that that person will introduce that shipment again to someone else, to some other port? It's quite possible. So, hepatitis A, when we see it showing up at our food stands here in Honolulu, and now all of a sudden there's this concern for illnesses associated with this contaminated fish, we already know that these shipments can contain hepatitis A. Histamines. The article appears to be contain histamine, a poisonous and deleterious substance in such quantity as ordinarily renders it injurious to health. Insanitary. The article appears to have been prepared, packed, or held under insanitary conditions whereby it may have become contaminated with filth or whereby it may have been rendered injurious to health. This is why I'm saying to you, be smart, be wise, contact your legislators, tell them this is a matter, you're sick and tired, I should say, of every other month or 2 months there's another foodborne illness, and it's like, okay, it becomes common practice. We look to expect this. We've become conditioned, apparently. We don't have to be living by chance. Our legislators and our government agencies must be more aggressive and must be timely. And these companies now are inspected by an agency under, at least it was, I don't know what they've done now, But under the NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric, National Marine Fisheries Service, they supposedly go abroad and check these facilities out and then give them a certification, but you got to pay for that. And the team that does that is not that known. There are not that many people. Caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Go ahead with your comment or question.
Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm listening to you. You know, this hepatitis thing been around a long time, right? Ever since they've been checking on why is it so prevalent now? Because you're finding it, you're checking it better?
I don't really know if they are really finding it, but I think maybe the doctors it become a reality. Historically, we didn't know that. We didn't know the look at it. We didn't know that they were spraying gas on fish and using old fish. We didn't know that some of these sources that generate this fish could be unclean. We didn't think down the line that far back.
We get the fish in check, but we didn't check in how it was put on our table, put in that package.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really on site watching them for these companies or these processors.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm reluctant to say this, but I must say it. I really can't say to you that it was it just started coming out publicly. I believe we've been overt about just recently the tourist trade. He had one of the officials in the tourism trade was involved at this first level talking about, oh, it's safe, you know, and it's not a problem. Well, I believe that we have actually suppressed, knowing what I know about that group of people there, that Sarah Parks and the others and the ones before her, they seem to have been more concerned with business and the financial impact. Yeah, and so I'm reluctant to say that it just started presenting itself.
Okay, because I'm wondering, this type of thing, had an idea that something in the food got you sick, and they were to call it hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, do you know the history of the disease itself and how we started checking it? I'm just wondering if it just happened and if it's not being reported. Because if you contaminate a processing procedure, all the fish had to be at the same contamination on it, or was this a trap thing?
Mm-hmm.
How did the organism work and spread, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, there are so many layers of potential problems here that at certain stages, and this fish may not have been, it may have been contaminated in the processing plant here. Who knows? I mean, but again, it's a guessing game, you see. And I am so concerned the way the state handles these things, that they're not timely. They don't place an importance of getting the word out. It's about, let's make sure we don't cripple our trade and industry and the tourism and the restaurant trade and all.
Could be explosion, huh? But the real facts maybe came out of what you're saying.
Yeah.
People would eat in a restaurant or something.
Well,
I know you hear about it here and there. I don't know the complete history of it. But let's go from the man on the boat with a line out. He catches that fish. They throw it into a big freezer box, okay?
Well, you would think it depends on the fisherman. I mean, in the boat or the.
Hanging around in the boat.
Because first of all, I I've witnessed it firsthand. Palau, for example, and some of the bigger boats, the boats that were there from foreign countries, and fish, And they would, personally, I observed the guys using the bucket to scoop water out of the boat when the boat was taking on water a bit, right? And wash it out, and then fish come in, they'd put the fish in the bucket and put them down the hull or the hole. Or they go to the bathroom and...
One contamination point. The surrey and the, where the guys are fishing and the victims will not find anything to fall in it, they actually clean the bucket out with that water. That's
yeah.
What I'm saying.
Well, yeah, well, but again, let's be careful. For example, when we talk about the local boats or the tour boats,
okay.
See, there's a, we follow HACCP, and as much as we want to be suspicious of them, like I was, I wasn't informed until I had a chance to see. First of all, it's most of the fisheries locally here is an individual investment. And so that person has no desire to or does not have the playroom to go out and take his chances on spending a day fishing or 18 days out at sea and then come back and chance that he didn't wash off his ropes in his water slurry hole and the bacteria in there from the previous shipment, just because he didn't wash it off, contaminated the whole load. So these are some things are in place, but HACCP, they have to show. If you go to the auction, you can track each fish, not just all the fish. Yeah, which boat? Because it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you don't just throw all your fish on there, and if you got a choice tuna that's going to bring you $1,000, you don't want to be just dumping them in a bucket or a container, and then they just give you what they think that you deserve.
It's like you've got a piece of gold, and you can't lose it.
Yeah, so, again, and that's what I didn't understand was how the health department repeatedly, it talks about enhancing the fishing business here, and it's an industry that supports the economy. And yet they leave that industry out to hanging to dry.
Carol, now correct me if I'm wrong, don't they have an observer in every one of them boats?
Yeah, they have, I don't know if on every boat, but we have observers, but down in there they don't in some countries.
Yeah, I mean, what we do, basically we have somebody that's watching over each fisherman.
Right.
Okay, but foreign countries, the fishermen is walking over the fishermen.
But also, you must understand, the way our system works is that there are people putting their own money, hard-earned money into this, and that in itself is a factor of a layer of protection. Only fools take money out of their pockets and put it in the hull of a boat and go out and chance of fishing and don't worry about cleanliness. I don't think I've met a person that stupid in the business. Local business. I'm not defending him. I just know, having seen them, and that it's when a guy put his money in diesel fuel, he's taking the money out of his pocket or his investors. All right, when he put the man and the captain on the boat, he's gonna pay for that. So imagine the captain goes out fish and lay lines and have eight sets, four sets, whatever. Work and come back and then try to sell them, and then, well, your fish are bruised, your fish are banged up, your fish are even just those fish not dying properly is enough. They will ding them on the price. They don't want the flesh to be burned, as so to speak.
Well, these fishermen that I'm going with, they're kind of stickler about how clean the boat is, this, that, and the other.
Because they'll get ding on HACCP. I guess what I'm trying to say, the parallel is, we have strict inspections here or conditions, and I'm sure there always could be an improvement. But then you go to the extreme side of it, people dumping in buckets and then using that same bucket, scoop the water out on the side and then wash it out, and also most of these fish are. Scum broads, many of them, right? Jacks and mackerels and whatever. And so when, in a tropical setting, when they die immediately, that triggers the buildup of histamines. And that's where the meat is being decaying, start the process of decay, and so there's nothing that can impede it other than slow it down by getting it chilled and putting it on ice.
Yeah.
But if it's just out in a tropical setting, they lay on the deck.
Yeah.
Until with the bites on, they lay on the deck, and then they put them in a bucket and some ice, if they use ice. Some places didn't use ice. So imagine you taking that fish. Now you walk in, and here's a guy carrying a fish over his shoulder back to the, then freeze them again, and then thaw them out, and now you got a fish that is not as palatable in appearance. So what's a way around that? You don't want to throw it away. Well, you use it for ahi Q pokey.
Get you $9 a pound or something. Who knows what they get?
And also, at first, it was cheap, and people said it. And funny thing is, some of the people that were critical of me in the early days, years back, about this effort to educate the public, didn't want to step up and say anything. And you know, the funny part about it is, those very people were caught up and impacted in some of these incidences. Like the Genki Sushi, some of those people involved on the periphery were, oh, we don't have a right to tell people what to put in their mouth, and the legislators don't have a right to put it, and it's not a problem, and I don't see it's not going to impact the local fisheries. It's not going to, okay. Well, but guess what? And as time plays itself out, this individual company found itself at the receiving end of one of these contaminated shipments.
Yeah.
You see, so you might run ahead of the devil today, but, you know, if you slow down,
he'll
catch up with you.
And then it's a big old fire, and your reputation is shot.
Oh, I mean, the last thing you want on your name, associated with your name, is a fish sold with hepatitis,
yeah,
A or salmonella,
yeah,
or
fish,
mass,
yeah,
sickness or illness, right?
That will move to another country. Not going to sell no fish here.
A volunteer for the Mars flight because you... nobody's...
Cheap. Get out of here.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for calling, and we'll
yeah, have a nice week.
Yeah, we'll be back in the next hour here after we take a break, but we'll be back.
Well, just bring back we need some spot for these supermarkets to be really alert, you know what I mean, to what's going on with the fish. You would think they have this thing fine-tuned already.
Well, I guess I don't know how to say this without sounding like you're impugning their integrity or anything, but, hey, if you play with fire, you get burned. I mean, they too have an obligation to require greater scrutiny and greater stricter standards.
Well, yeah, you don't take your product that has any chance of being contaminated.
You understand? I mean, and it's their responsibility to, yeah, go back upstream and find out what's the real source in the
conditions.
You follow?
Yeah.
They have enough money as a conglomerate to put together and fund people to go abroad and look at these facilities, but instead they rely on the government to, operate and enforce or go and inspect these facilities. And you inspect one today, look how many countries there are and how many producers there are. So it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
So not much sympathy goes to anybody in this process, to be honest with, from my standpoint.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Talk to you later.
All right. So, here's another thing, like pesticides. The article is subject to refusal of admission pursuant to Section 801A3, in that it appears to be adulterated because it contains pesticide chemical, which is in violation of... So, if we know all of this, and this is just being a small sample of the total volume of shipments that come in. If we know this, why aren't we changing? Is it financially worth, or it's a benefit to just let it go, play itself out, and you hope you don't get a shipment contaminated? I don't know. But let's see here. Here's a code, a product from Japan, Bonita. It was refused because the article is subject to refusal of admission pursuant to Section 808, and that the article appears to have been manufactured, processed, or packed under in sanitary conditions. That's from Japan. Here's one, and the dates on those are recent now. As I say, 14 February 2017. Here's one from Dateline Kava. This is strictly from the, don't call me up pissed off about me mentioning names on here. This is straight from the FDA website. Dateline Kava. The shipment was tuna, albacore, yellowfin, bluejack, skipjack. And the code, product code is 16AET45. Went into San Diego. It was rejected because of the violation listed ingredients. Misbranding. The article is subject to refusal of admission and pursuant to 801. Here's another one, and that will go through 15 February 2017. Adulteration. What was this product? From Indonesia. This is a red snapper, gray snapper, and Malabar. Why did they reject it? Filthy, it says. The article appears to consist in whole or in part of a filthy, putrid, or composed substance, or be otherwise unfit for food. Now, I'm not making this up, and I'm not trying to throw stones and misinform you. This is just straight from the government's website, recent, and you can go there to the FDA and just type in import refusals. And it'll give you some idea. So this thing about every other month or 2 months, there's another. And I will tell you, this summer, more likely, you're going to see more because of the demand. There's going to be more picnics, more parties, more whatever. And it's not just those the tuna now that is of concern. So another one here is eel, if you like yourself to sit down and have a nice lunch of eel. 23 February. This one was rejected, and it came from Xinjiang Food Company in China. And it was rejected by U.S. The FDA. The article is subject to refusal of admission pursuant to Section 801. And then vet drugs appears to be contained in a new animal drug conversion product, therefore thereof that it is unsafe within the meaning of Section 3. This is what we're faced with, folks. It really is a problem. And what are we going to do about it? I'm offering this to you so that you can at least become a little more aware and use a little more discretion. And nothing is guaranteed. So, you know, don't go and buy the local fish and then you get sick and say, that Carol Cox, I only got sick because I wouldn't have bought any of it. I'm just trying to give you an idea is that there's something more sinister lurking on the grocery shelves, lurking in the little shops. And when you go to places now, folks, I would encourage you. The only way it's going to stop in the protection of you, the consumer, and reduce the risk is if you're at a store, a hamburger shop, and they sell poke, take the time and ask them, is this imported from foreign countries or is it local? Make sure you ask that if you're concerned with the potential of having a health risk, health threat, or what have you, or ingesting some of this material. Caller, thank you for calling. Real quick, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, you know how to avoid all this?
Pardon me?
You know how to avoid all this hepatitis C?
Okay.
Cook your fish. Don't eat raw fish.
Yeah, but you have to cook it you touch it, right, unless you learn how to use chopsticks or stick a fork in it to get it out of the packet and then put it in the grease, right?
Well, I always wash my fish. Okay.
Yeah, and that
wash
then...
my hands.
But what if it's contaminated with hepatitis?
I think you're more likely to catch it. I guess you could get it through casual contact. I think you're way more likely to contact it through indigestion. I'm not an expert.
And I agree with you now. I'm not taking any issue with you. That I agree. Some say cook it and whatever, but don't forget that step of getting it from the store in the package and getting the juices on you or in your hands. And, you know, just depends.
Yeah.
And then
so
dispersing.
I always force my fish, though. So.
Yeah. Okay.
And just don't braise it. Don't sear it. Because
cook
that's
it.
Not, you know, if the middle of it's raw, it's not going to help you much.
Cook it, huh, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Well, we're down in the last second, so yeah, I'll be back in the next hour. Feel free to call back. Thank you.
Okay.
Aloha. Aloha. Bye-bye. Okay, well, we'll be right back, and thank you for listening. This is the Carol Cox Show. And we'll be right back with you.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K101. Time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, you know, if you'd like to follow me and interested in listening in on what we have to say, you can also go to thinktechhawaii.com, thinktechhawaii.com, and you can go on demand there as well as on every Tuesday, the second Tuesday, you can see me live talking and sharing different stories and some findings. So ThinkTech Hawaii, and also on Olelo, I think I have a show featuring today for the first play at 1 o'clock at Channel 54 regarding the Big Island Dairy and the state comments and what have you. So feel free there. And on Thursdays, Carol Cox Show on Olelo at Channel 54 at 7 p.m. So 1 p.m. on Sundays at Channel 54 and Thursdays at... And as if that isn't enough, I'm trying to do another show, so... I think that I'm like you. I want to know what's going on, and I just can't wait for someone to deliver it to me all shaped and, you know, fashioned in some form of being careful and not no substance. So we'll try to bring you the basic facts, and then you go and take them from there. But we make sure we put everything up, what we believe, that have documents and support that. So just know that. And we're not competing with anyone. We call it a show, but it's not a show. So call it what you want. But it's the information we're trying to share with you. There's so much coming at us that we need every little bit helps now. You know, so be wise on the fish. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it, and then I'll move to the issue of the Big Island Dairy and some of the things we're finding there with and some of the difficulty of getting public records. This Department of Agriculture, man, they don't just grow crops. They seem to just have no sense of law amongst themselves. Nothing. And again, this is all under the David Ige administration now. Scott Enright is behaving in a fashion that is quite questionable, but I still go back and say the legislators appointed him, approved him, and then in turn the governor appointed him. So Governor David Ige is responsible for this nonsense, and we'll go into details on that, but that's the way it is. A community can struggle for 4 years breathing cow manure being sprayed in the air and for some while, and storms washing down the cow manure down the streams and under the houses and what have you. And all that can be said is that let's have a meeting. So, folks, please, when you have the chance and looking at your elections in the near future, just think, what is David Ige doing about these kinds of things? I know he's a nice guy. I'm not going to take on a debate about that. He's an awesome guy and healthy, and he jogs. But for me, as a citizen, seeking transparency and open government and responsive government, he ain't got it. Call back. I just hit the wrong button. Anyway, feel free to call back. And so going back to this fish import thing, and there was a call online, and I do apologize. I disconnected you, so feel free. I'm not mad at you. Don't even know who you are. So. Caller, thank you. I apologize for cutting you off there.
No problem. I just want to say that the cloud over all of this, the big thing over all of it, is one word, regulation. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a bad word for people who, you know, who want to get away with abuse and making as much money as they can. And so they don't want to be regulated. And so what I'm saying is that that's a very Republican thing, is deregulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's the really, really one of their favorite things. You can call it bureaucracy, you can call it red tape, you can call it whatever you want to, but they always, you know, they always make it sound like a real bad thing. Well, maybe it's not as bad as hepatitis or the runaway development that we have. So, as far as I can see, I've said this before, so I'm a little bit of a broken record here.
That's okay.
But the Democrat in power, whether they're elected or appointed, whatever, staff and so on, most of them, almost all of them, are acting like Republicans. The only reason why they claim to be Democrat is because they won't get elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get there, and so, you know, look at the development. It's way, way out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Kaka'ako, and then the train thing, and on and on and on. So the upshot is they favor big business, and that is a Republican thing, and so nothing is going to be regulated like it should, because that's a bad word.
Yeah, let me say this, and I want to be careful and not to say that I suggest or hint that I'm taking issue with what you say, but I want to add and help share with my views. And
uh-huh.
I don't believe it has much to do with the Democrats are acting like Republicans. I don't believe that would be true, because they don't have a class where they all get together and say, hey, Republicans, what are you doing tonight? Can we get a session to learn how you behave? I believe that just on face value, the Democrats are acting irresponsible as Democrats, as people that should be humanely concerned about homelessness, food, sustainability, the environment, and they're just not. I think we pay ourselves a disservice when we tend to say they're bad because the guy across the street taught them to be bad. No, they are just crooked and evil and corrupt because they are crooked and evil and corrupt.
Well, I can't totally disagree with you, but I guess my point is that the outcome,
mm-hmm.
In terms of things that, you know, that we've been talking about, like the contamination of food and you know, the stuff that's going, probably going to be going on in the Big Island with the dairy business and so on. I'm just saying the outcome is more is from deregulation.
Yeah, but from their standpoint, not from a Republican standpoint. And in fact, I don't think they will come near a Republican to seek guidance. I think that because they're so corrupt now, that they're standalone, open for business, serving businesses,
okay,
forgetting the people. And I think it's a unique process, and I really believe that. I last night I was conversing with someone about this. I believe that the Republicans are doing well because the Democrats, you know, all Schumer and Pelosi with those grandstanding, all they have to do is come, and if they really want to know, other than the Hillary Clinton element, why they lost their butts, is to come to Hawaii and you have the text room, the classic how government can fail to serve people. Right here in a democratic process, in a democratic state, predominantly Democrat, and they can learn. They can, Chuck Schumer can stop crying if he would for a couple of minutes and then stop whining, and Nancy Pelosi get off her high horse and give up on some of the perfume and the lipstick and become one of us. And ask, hey, let's look at Hawaii. How is it that they got a $20 billion train that's going to go nowhere, and yet they're going to tax the people? They're the ones that's putting that train in, not the Republicans.
Well, yeah, okay, so I don't mean to make a big deal about...
No, go ahead. Let's make a big deal. Let's have...
No, I'm not thinking in a big deal about the term Republican or Democrat. I'm just saying that big business is running the show here, mm-hmm. And it's all about profit, and whether it's the tourist industry or the dairy industry or the fish industry, and there's not enough regulation, and so even just leave the party thing out of it. You
well,
know,
but we can't, though, because what happens is that all of us are guilty of this one thing. When we admit and acknowledge that Democrats can be faulty, but we always introduce an element that the Republicans have some blame. And I'm saying, let's just call a spade and be done with it, and say that in order to, we'll deal with the Republicans. In fact, we don't have to deal with them. They're self-destructing internally until they get their act together. But the Democrats, I mean, the Mufi Hannemans, what does he do? He's instrumental in getting the train.
Well, that's what I said, that they're not acting like Democrats.
Right, but, you know...
They're not in agreement with the philosophy of you know, the greatest good for the greatest number.
So let me ask you this, and I have another call, but
yeah,
take your time. So with this recent development with the train and Ige not doing what he could have done and extended, do you think that it was for the benefit of the people, or it was a political move that he knew that if Kirk got what he wanted, then Kirk going to run for governor, and then Kirk, he would be contentious, so why give Kirk anything?
Well, I don't deny that, but I still say it's all about big business.
Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know...
I mean, there's a lot of profit made in the concrete industry, for instance.
But we get to flesh it out in order. We can say it's big business, but let's break it down and digest it, and so, you know, and we can then deal with it. But big business, a lot of it is like Donovan De La Cruz. I mean, they said in one article he was slated to replace Takuda, right?
Sure.
I mean, is he big business or he's big opportunist?
Well, maybe both, but what the outcome is, the big guys, the developers and the train company, whatever mm-hmm. it is, they get away with whatever they want to get away with. They get to run the show because big business is in, and there's no way to regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, well, anyway, I've talked long enough.
No, but feel free and call back if you want to. Don't feel like you're becoming a problem. Okay, thank you. Aloha. Paula, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comments or question.
Aloha, Carol. This is Casey Connors. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Hi, I'm sorry, I just turned in, and I just want to double-check two things. The first is, do your sisters know that the mayor is trying to raise the bus fares and to $3.25 and then the monthly to $80 and possibly again cut back our route 55. The bill is down to a second hearing, and we were very concerned also that Handy Van raised the prices of that. But the regular bus, nobody seems to understand that the bus fares are going to go up unless the public is aware and steps up. Again, our most vulnerable, our seniors, our students, our disabled, our working families.
So you're suggesting they do what, call the mayor's office, or who should...
I think it's your city councilman now. It went ahead 5-4. We had 4 city councilmen voting against it. And city councilman Martin, Ernie Martin, said, no, we can find the funds some other way. But 5 city council people voted for raising the bus fare. We have one more chance to stop it, and we're waiting to hear what day it is. But
and I'm
bus riders don't know about that.
And I'm sure Manure, what did Manure vote for, yes?
I'm not positive. I'll have to go back.
Okay.
And look at everything.
Let us know if you would, because he's not our man anymore. It seemed to be the mayor's man. And
but we are very concerned. And again, you want people riding the bus to get to work. A lot of the people who ride the bus, they have the dollar meal. They live off the dollar meal. And this may not seem a lot like to a lot of people, but it is.
Okay.
And the second thing I was very concerned about, I'm hearing more and more about, is the Oahu General Plan. The comments are due this Monday. But I'm reading some of the neighborhood boards, just reading this morning, their comments. I didn't realize the revised Oahu General Plan does things like have no carrying capacity and allowed TVAs, which is our it's the illegal vacation rental anywhere on the island.
Mm-hmm.
So they snuck that in, the developer, you know, the Airbnb guys and stuff like that. So there are a lot of things in this Oahu General Plan, like there's no population limit, where they can build, and if anyone now can have a illegal vacation rental anywhere on the island, this is going to be a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also things about water that people are talking about. So I'm trying to ask if any of you or any of your listeners know about a revised Oahu General Plan and that we have to comment by tomorrow to stop it.
Mm.
I'm just shocked because it doesn't seem to have gotten almost any press. I knew James on Country Talk Story had talked about it, a couple of other people, but not really the press when I see the impact that it would have.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if you're knowledgeable about that or any of your...
Somewhat, but, you know, there's so many things that goes
right.
on, and I...
There's so much profit. Incredible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, thank you, Carol.
Yeah, thank you, and maybe next week you give me a call back, and let's see. But it's only one more vote left, huh?
Right, for the bus, but for the Oahu General Plan, it's comments due tomorrow, Monday, the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been shocked, and I know that some of the neighborhood boards have done a good job, but a lot of people don't seem to know about it.
Okay.
Also, and especially this allow illegal vacation rentals anywhere, this is nuts. Thank you.
All right, Casey. Well, thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye. The world go round and round. So I don't know, folks. If you think this is a democracy, if this is a democratic process, think about the problem we had with the voting, the not enough ballots and what have you. Can you imagine how mad the Democratic Party and the people in the state would be if that was Donald Trump or the Russians? If the Russians had a pool, knew that was an election and knew that, and they hijacked a truck to make sure not enough ballots had been delivered to each polling booth? Boy, that would be worth World War III, wouldn't it? But it happened right here in Hawaii in a place that we refer to as a democratic government. Isn't that funny? You know, and I know that to many of you, you probably think, well, I've said I'm a Democrat, but at some point, you know, we all can get to a point where we're stupid. And I'm trying to recover. I wish they had an AA process for stupidity, and I would try to recover, go to attend those, because this is silly, man. $20 million train, buildings, high-rises exceeding the limits that were stated years back. Now, all of a sudden, they're just blocked, torn those down, giving away harbors and what have you for contracts and you know, all of that. And then we say, but look what the Republicans, this is what they'll do. The Republicans, you know, and it's like, it's okay. Come join me. Come join me on this other side. And let's get smart and let's stop being so stupid. Because, I mean, I know they're nice people, you know. And I'm never going to doubt that. You meet them, any of them, any of those legislators or state, the city council people, you walk up to them and they're the nicest people you've ever seen that will take a dollar for a favor. You can't beat them. They got the Aloha spirit. They have the Aloha shirt on. They have the beads. I mean, it's like, hey, wow, knock me down, you know. But get past that. And see what representation you have. Flourishing cities developing under the bike paths and over the overpasses and underpasses and in the parks. New cities, no zoning plan, no nothing. But we have a zoning planning department. Illegal dumping, illegal dirt. But we got solution to that is to charge more money to the people that own property. Oh, man, you know. But you're not going to be able to charge the people that are living homeless and dumping, and you shouldn't. But again, this is, I try to say, and I don't know any other way to say it to you, because there's some people that have PhDs that listen, and there are some people that have no degrees, but they have all things in common. One thing is that there is an entity that willing to take their last hard-earned dollar to facilitate big business in contracts and overchange and change orders and what have you. Fees here, fees there. So we're in a pickle, folks, and the only way we can change the sauce, so to speak, or change the setting, is that we got to become honest with ourselves and call it what it is. You see? That's what we... how relevant is this fish matter that I was talking about and the contaminations and the imports? How relevant is that? Well, first of all, we don't have much of farming because we're building houses. Whole Pelee and Core Ridge and all those and then ones that we've already built, you see, on ag land. Why is this so relevant? This fish import business or the import business, because the bulk of our food is going to be imported. And if the bulk of our food is being imported, what are those? Do we operate on the 1905 staff, the staffing, the budgeting, the funding of our agency, the health department and DOH and all, and agriculture to monitor and look out for foodborne illnesses? Or poisons, or contaminants. You see, as our local source is shrinking, it becomes even more important that our legislators become more familiar and more stringent and more stricter in the legislative process and then put in place laws that will protect us. This isn't a game. This is a, you know, this is... food for thought for you, all of you out there that think I'm toying with words. Step back, take a look at it. If the bulk of your food is imported and you hear this list of this, and I'm just naming fish products now. We can go and talk about cashews and almonds and everything else. They reject nuts, fruits, bolts. They do everything. So getting back to this FDA rejection refusal thing. So to show you, there's no one country. Here's a shipment from Fiji, and it went to San Diego on the 15th of February, 2017. What was the violation? What was the product shipped? Fiji is tuna, albacore, yellowfin, bluejack, skipjack. Went to San Diego. The article is subject to refusal of admission pursuant to Section 801. Now, you might say, well, it sounds like they're doing their job, but this is probably 0.1% of the total inspection shipments that they make. And I might be inaccurate in that, but, again, it ain't much far off. And so they, when a shipment comes in, as described to me by some of the FDA inspectors, if it's sitting in the far back of a container, they're going to be, unless they go through and inspect every box in the container, which is rarely done, they're going to get what's up front. And they're going to reject it if it's bad. So here's another one from Bangladesh, brought in on 10 February 2017. What's the product? Fish neck, fish NEC. Now, what is fish NEC? They want to know what species, what it is, but no, the company shipping it out by Anraj Fish Products Industries from Bangladesh. Here's one from El Salvador. I went through and picked these out to just show you, don't get comfortable. Don't just be stuck on this one presentation. They tell you, oh, well, we're working on it, and we think we don't call it a cluster now. No, it's a cluster you know what, to be honest with you. I won't repeat the words, but it's not a kind word. But it's synonymous with cluster. And so here's another one from El Salvador, February 2017. Mackerel, in Spanish, or king mackerel. What was the reason for rejection? Right here in the FDA's own words, filthy. The article appears to be to consist in whole or part of a filthy, putrid, decomposed substance or be otherwise unfit for food. You see, now, what's the solution to that? I believe that if you put a shipment such as that in commerce, you don't get to ship anymore, period. Stricter standards, especially if we are requiring here in Hawaii, the bulk of our food is to be imported from various spokes around the world, not just from one entity. So here's another from manufacturer was United States from a cold locker storage. It was rejected. So I'm giving you this assortment so that you don't go, oh, I'm safe because I only eat this. No, you better wake up and smell the fish. So here's one. 28 February 2017, rejected, consisting of salmon. The type of salmon was humpback, silver, king, sockeye. And why did they reject it? It was filthy. I won't bother to read every one of the over and over, but Zhejiang Food Company, Camel Industrial Estate, Ningbo, Camel Industrial, China. Here's one for they imported or exported to here a product called eel. So if you like eel, sashimi eel or grill eel, see, I'm touching on everything. So don't go resting and thinking that, well, oh, I'll stay away from the poke because, you know, that's what that salmon, I'll stay away from the scallops. No, exercise caution with all of it, my friends, all of it. If it's imported, ask the question. And here's one from Chile. You like conch meat? You like abalone? You like, you know, and you like your abalone soup? Or conch, you know, like a mollusk? So, February 7th, 2017, New York. Rejected because it was filthy. Dayland Kava, back another chance of Fiji. Tuna. So, this is Managua, Nicaragua. Sardines brought in on March 2017 through Florida. And again, why was that one rejected? So you see, sardines, bristling sprats, pilchards. And that was rejected because, oh, the article appears to contain poisonous and deleterious substance which may render it injurious to health. Contains refusal, right? And what it had in it was bacteria. It didn't say what type of bacteria in the report, but it had bacteria of levels of concern. So don't get fooled by this process. Hawaii must make a better approach. We cannot tolerate the evening news, general, predictable diatribe that is being disseminated by Sarah Park. This is a game to them. Oh, well, you know, okay, we normally do this because we don't want to impugn the integrity of the business, and we don't want to harm the business, and we don't want to get everybody scared and all. But I'm reading you a list of every product, and this is just samples now, per month, rejected. Just sample that are tested. So here is pollock, and pollock brought in from Korea and Los Angeles. It was shipped into Yongdae, Hongtae, Wongtae. And again, why were they? They didn't bother to put any English on it to say what it was. So the article is subject to refusal of admission pursuant to 801. And then it goes on to say the placed therein, the FDNC Act appear to on the label or labeling is not prominently placed thereon in such conspicuousness as compared with other words, statements. And so they reject them because of the English misbranding. So they put things on there that on these reports when they import on the containers, inspectors can't tell what it is. Could be chopped up calf liver. Or something worse. Who knows? Here's Indonesia. Shipment came in. And on the 21st of March this year, 2017, to Los Angeles. And what was the contents? Tuna. Albacore tuna. Why was it rejected? Filthy. So these were two shipments, if you understand. Here's something from Oman. You think you like you're gonna, well, I'm gonna stop eating poke ahi and I'm gonna not eat salmon because Carol Cox told me, and then he said conch, and then he said skipjack, and bonita was bad and potentially good. So I'm gonna stay away from those, and I'm gonna eat myself some mahi. Whoa, just hold on, because here's a shipment from Oman, mahi-mahi, on the 13th of March, 2017, in Florida. It was rejected because it was filthy. So, folks, and this isn't a sampling of every container. This is just a fragment of the total shipments that comes in. Now you see why it's so much better probably to have open lands that we can farm locally and rely on, because we could have a better inspection. Right now, basically, to describe it in a sound being disrespectful, but you might as well be in sequestered in a room and say to the government, well, just feed us on, put us on a flat diet. you see, and because that's all we can trust. Well, what is a flat diet? Pancakes and halibut. That's about all you can have. You see? So some of you know what a halibut is. Others don't. It's a flat fish with both eyes go on one side. So just a little joke. But this is not funny. This is serious business. So we need manpower, woman power, inspection power, seizure authority, greater shipments, and even maybe restructure this process when food items are come in. Restructure the timing, do something. Instead of having 80 million Border Patrol people keeping one another from getting into the office, maybe we need some food policemen. How about that? You know? So, I guess we in this position because only fish can go in schools and we don't seem to go to school or something. I don't know what to tell you. But this is what we got. Here's some mahi-mahi from Vietnam. And just in case you just got scared, I'd scare the bejesus out of you. The mahi-mahi coming from Vietnam. Oh, my God, it's filthy, too, this shipment that they inspected. And now that we've gotten past the ahi, mahi, bonito, the conch, you know, now, that's not to say all the shipments are contaminated. I'm reading from you, from this document here, some portions of inspection refusals that I took from the FDA board website. And it's up there for all of you, FDA.gov. Then type in search import refusals. So now that you learn to stay away from all those things that I use a little more caution or find out the source and what have you and what have you, you decide the safest thing to do is eat some shrimp and prawns. And, this is kind of, I take this one personally and take personal, I think it's an attack on me here. It says the manufacturer, it's coming from Kulachar Seafoods or Cox's Bazaar. I'm going to have to talk to my relatives about that one. That I, you know. But industrial estate Jilongja in Bangladesh. Shrimp and prawns and aquaculture harvested fishery seafood products. Why did they reject it? It was filthy. And so, again, Venezuela, fish maw, fishery products, NEC, they rejected that shipment because it's filthy. So, if all of this is going on, we don't see an increase in inspections or an increase in inspector hiring at the things, but we do know that there's a decrease in our sources of food and being able to produce food locally here. And this is yet another reason. Do we want to entrust, give all of our trust to this process, to foreign imports or foreign exports, and abandon all of our food producing land and build on it and all of that? I mean, if we're willing to do that, then I think I've just wasted 2 hours, and I do apologize for taking your time and trying to steer you or just give you a V8 moment, you know. But now here's one from Gambia, and it was brought in on March 21, 2017, to New York. And it was rejected. What was it? Fish. It just said fish. But the problem was it was rejected because of labeling. The article appears in violation of FPLA because its placement form and our content statement. Then the other reason they rejected it, drum roll please, was, this is our friend, you know, This is there's one guy that presented. He finds his way in all of the foods pretty much. He's more commonly detected than many of the things, and we here in Hawaii has had him to reveal himself here too in some of the shipments, and that's that Italian singer, a movie star called Salmonella. You see, he shows up in that shipment. Salmonella, as you know, was shown up in fish products, ahi products, years back, and then recently too, you know, in the recent past. So this time, this shipment was rejected, and it was just fish. The article appears to contain salmonella, a poisonous and deleterious substance which may render it injurious to health. Boy, tuna, albacore, yellowfin tuna from Thailand. Again, that shipment was filthy. Another one from Japan, Bonito. So anyway, I don't want to beat an old dead fish, but maybe that will give us some reason to go vegetarian. When you look at all of the potentials of the threats and the health risks associated with it, the question is, look in the mirror and say, what can I do right now to prevent me and my children from getting sick and or taking the risk of consuming this? And that's not to say every shipment is poisonous or contaminated, but it is to say you have the right to ask these questions. Well, you can start by being a vegetarian, or as the gentleman said, it's much of the fish you can take it and fry it. But if it's filthy, as the USDA or FDA's reports show, filthy, I don't know how you get around that one. If you salmonella, I don't know how you get around that one, but that's up to you. I'm not going to prescribe any method of treatment. But I will say you would owe it to yourself and your family that use and exercise and incorporate caution. And again, don't be afraid to ask the servers or the chef, is this fish imported? That's not a guarantee to say that it wasn't mishandled locally, but learn for yourself and treat. And this is important. So I took this time in hopes that we could give you a little better education, because right now all it is, it becomes a news story and everybody gets nervous and, oh my God, did you see what happened on TV? Another poisonous substance, another deleterious substance, another bacteria, another this and that, and we're left like deer in headlights. We want to get out of that position. We want to be informed. And I've tried, and if you have any questions, go to carolcox.com and listen to some of the podcasts. Just type in ahi poke and ahi and fish, imported fish. We've done maybe 10, 12 stories on this over the past years, trying to get you to understand that, you know, be careful. And if not, and then be more vocal in guarding our decreasing acreage of land that is would be good and critical for us to have clean food, sustainable. But if we're importing from all over the place, and I just took a sample now, there are many, many countries. Think of any country exports some kind of fish product. Somebody's there going to capitalize or grow fish. And in some countries, so imagine if you have a shrimp farm and the quality of water for that country is not that great anyway, and the cleanliness and what have you, and they use the water for raising the shrimp, do you think there's a chance that could get bacteria and could be filthy? So you wouldn't want to cook something that's filthy or putrid or, you know, whatever. Anyway, that's so much for that, and we'll, I won't bore you anymore with that. But real quickly, let me take a couple of minutes and talk about the Department of Health notice of violation. It was issued, it's NOV 2017-CWEO08. And the Department of Health issues the notice of violation, NOV 2 Big Island Dairy, LLC. in Rupert, Idaho. The Novo on the Hawaii Revised Statute, HRS 91 and 342D, Hawaiian Administrative Rules, Chapter 1155, based on findings from December 2016 and March 28th through 29th, 2017. Inspections of the Big Island Dairy conducted under the direction of DOH Clean Water Branch, and attached is the exhibit. So, background, proposed Big Island Dairy operates, the respondent operates a dairy at Ōkala, which we've talked about extensively here. Due to its size and configuration, the dairy is a categorical national pollutant discharge elimination systems concentrated animal feeding operations point, so subject to regulations on the Hawaii Administrative Rules. To date, Big Island Dairy does not have a permit to discharge pollutant to state waters as required. So when I see this, I'm very proud to say to you that while we don't have the big name in the media game, our facts hold true and stands alone. See, this work that we do, it's very rewarding because we showed that in 2014 they found these problems, and also it has already been, this document does not serve well the issue in hand, because it was a small dairy before it became a big dairy, and the owner is required to declare, and the documentations reflect that USDA, Agriculture Department, you must it be defined if you have a 2,000 cow dairy, then it's a capo. There was no debate. But I guess what I like about the Hawaii is that they finally get it, but it's, and you just have to tolerate it. They never come out and say, this is wrong. So what we've learned is this: let them do their thing, let them work at their pace, but keep prodding them. And eventually they get it, because in 2014 they got it. They went there, Neil Mukai. Again, I've said this before on the show, but I'll say it again. One of the finest state workers I have come to witness. He went there, he responded to a complaint. He didn't introduce politics, he didn't introduce anything but his camera, his observations, and he didn't stray away from what he was supposed to do. And it was based on his inspection was the marker or the line in the sand. That was a demarcation point where we had something, we the public, had some reference, because we don't have access to that property. He did a fantastic job. Hopefully one day he becomes the director, and then I think we could sleep for a night until he gets corrupted by whatever that seemed to be prevalent. But 2016, they went back. But they didn't go to Neil Mukai's, his observation, to confirm once again. No, they went straight off and then said that, it appears that it has the potential of doing what Neil said it was doing. It wasn't quite quoted that way, but I just didn't do that. But you get the gist of it. And so you must understand something. For those of you, and I offer this, and I'll offer it again time and time, and you tell me when you're tired of it. But this thing about not in my backyard, that was the allegations tossed at Friends of Mahalapu. You see, it's just those rich people don't want it in their backyard, they don't want the dairy. Well, let me just say to you right now, firsthand, were it not for the Friends of Mahalapu, those, quote, rich people who don't want it in their backyard, it was their effort and their effort alone. I embraced their work and joined in because I saw the good in it. And they took, after succeeding at the dairy on Kauai, they took their monies, their resources, not our money, not government money, but they took their money, their time, all of them, people that you will never know, that have nothing to do with Ōkala or the dairy. They fought back and was poised to fight again on Kauai. But they took it, those same people that were accused of being not in our backyard. You know, that usually it takes that tone anyway when there's people that they get accused of doing it. Well, they funded and they put everything together and motivated and recruited to help those people that have been enduring this for four years or so at the Big Island Dairy. People getting sick, snails increasing, the semi-slugs increasing. We don't know if they come from the dairy, but it's the timing. They're concerned. We don't know about the water. They can't go fishing. They don't go OP picking. That's the other side of this. So the people, quote, with money and didn't want it in their backyard had no difficulty in overlaying their fight and their resources and lending their resources to ensure that no matter what you believe their motivation were, go and ask the people at Ocala. Doesn't matter if the people with money help them or the people without money help. We know what the government was doing. The government was sticking the screw to them. And this comes out $2,500 is fine. But there's much more that should have been taken action against, right? So I want to offer that so you can understand sometimes we have certain perceptions about people, and we got our own, you know, because we're Democrats, and those people with money, they must be Republicans, and this, and that, all that crap, you know. And the reality is, without a blink, today, the people at Ocala can breathe a sigh of relief for right now, at least, because of what the people on Kauai felt in their heart and their need. And what is the benefit? Quite naturally, we can't impugn them or attack them for looking out and reaching out and saying, well, gee, they're promising us that they will be on top of this, they being the DOH and the federal agents in the soil resource conservation and all those nonsense. They assure us that if a dairy is put here on Kauai, they'll be up there on top of it and inspecting it and regulating it. And then, voila, we find that here's a massive dairy on Big Island. And we find that, yes, it may have been inspected, but only been inspected because the community was complaining. But the requirement for the NPDES permit and discharge permit were never a subject. It was a subject. They defined it. They said it was a CAFO. But they never required them. They knew that they were, the water was running into the stream, into the gulch, into the ocean. They knew that, but no action. So I thought I would share that with you, that if only one person benefit from this, now there's a requirement that they will have. In March 27th, the unpermitted discharge of state waters, on March 29th, Big Island Dairy violated the section by discharging wastewater from its crop irrigation system to the Ka'ohaoha Gulch, a Class 2 inland state waters. The quantity of wastewater discharged is unknown, but it is estimated at greater than 10,000 gallons, based on the details. Well, we brought this all to you, and people power, folks, people power. Real quick, caller, you go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you hit the rail thing or not, but the rail really needs to get the stopped and replaced with the bus rapid transit. That's the only thing that'll really be a way out of that.
Well, I got an offer for you real quick because we're down to the last minute. You give me a call. I was going to send you an email today. And how about, would you like to join me on ThinkTech Hawaii, talk about this on Tuesday?
I'll call you back on it. I'll give you a call.
I mean, I know I'm a little more handsome, but you can join in with me. I'll put some mud on my face and then with
Well, let me give you a call back on that.
All right, now I'm going to wait. Now, don't, and I'm going to be sitting by the payphone.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, you're right, though. The rail was, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a massive ripoff. It's just a big scam, you know. It's just terrible. I just can't understand how it got this far.
Well, send me an email and do contact me whether you want to come on or not, but I think, come on in, let's preach and teach.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be waiting for that email now. I was going to send you an email anyway and say, okay, come on and join me on this rail. Share your insights. Okay, Ed?
Okay.
Thank you so much. Aloha.
Bye.
Well, folks, thank you. I appreciate you joining in. And I'm a mouthy kind of a guy, but my heart's in the right place. And I love it when people power comes into play. And there's no greater thrill than that. None. I don't care what you're doing. Making cookies, baking cookies, selling cookies, or compelling the state to get off its duff and take an action to protect the environment and protect the people. That's the only right thing to do, right? So we'll see you next week, and we'll be back.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu. Prices.